Okay, well, welcome. This morning I'm going to continue the theme that we're on, and as you all know, the theme is the life in the Spirit. And today I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit being a guide. How many of us have ever used a guide? You've used a guide? You know, when you go hiking, if we go hiking, we have a guide. Or we go to a museum, we have a guide, you know. But what does it mean to really be a guide? A guide, by definition, is firstly a person. A person who shows the way, who advises, who directs, and who influences the behavior or development of another. And I love that definition of a guide. Because when the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will be our guide, He is a person and He directs us. And you know, we all need direction, because when we have to live and journey through life, we don't really know how to navigate our own life. We can do things our way, make mistakes, pick up, try again, but it's so much easier when we have a guide who knows the path and therefore directs us, right? So we all have a choice, as you do when you go to a museum. You can either say yes to the guide, or you can say thanks but no thanks, I'll figure my own way around. And sometimes a lot of people do that, right? They say no, even if it's the audio guide, they think no, I can do it, right? But it's so much easier because the guide knows what's gonna come ahead of us. And they direct us to where they know we should be going and give us all the information along the way so that we are at peace, because we know there's an expert right there with us. The key scripture this morning is from John chapter 16 and verse 13. And the Bible says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak in his own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come." I love the way that ends. "And He will declare to you the things that are to come." So often our image of God and Him speaking to us is so shaped by the scriptures that say, "That still small voice," right? And that is how God speaks to us as well, through that stillness, through that still small voice. But in this scripture, it brings out a different aspect of God, which is so relevant and important in our lives today, because the scripture says He will declare, not whisper. There's no, you know, wondering if He has spoken. He will declare to you the things that are to come. The word declare means to announce, to proclaim, to make known. You know, they declare a victory or declare the results of an election, or it's very formal, it's a declaration, it's an announcement, it's got authority behind it. It's not just a notice. There's a difference between a notice and a declaration. And the word that the Bible uses is declaration. That is announcing with authority, proclaiming with that authority what is to come, not what's happened. The Holy Spirit is our guide, because we know the journey we've been in the past, and we know the traumas, we know the pain, we know the difficulties, and we know the joys and the challenges as well. But He's a guide who guides us into the future, into what is to come. God doesn't want us to spend all of our life looking back, because He knows we can so easily get trapped into that way of thinking. This is how it was. This is how it is. This is how it always will be, right? Without the declaration of God's word into our lives, we can think like that. That just because something was, or something happened in our lives, so just because we have suffered a certain way, we will continue in that stream. But God's word speaks to us something that's different, that is about to happen in our lives. And he declares it, so there's no doubt about the fact that he has actually spoken. And I love the fact that declare also means, to declare is to make known, sometimes in the face of actual or potential contradiction. So God declares peace in your life when those circumstances may be full of conflict. God declares health in your life when your circumstances may be just full of sickness. God declares prosperity in your life when you really don't know how you're going to make ends meet. The declaration is not based on our actual circumstances, because our circumstances are not guiding our future, but God is. So when he declares life, when he declares hope, when he declares health, when he declares prosperity, when he declares peace in your life, no matter what your circumstances are, his declaration, his announcement of what is to come is valid. Because it comes with the authority of who God is. And we can choose to have him guide us and we follow his instructions, or we can choose a difficult path of trying to do things on our own. God always says, the choice is yours. He says, this day I have given you a choice. Choose life or choose death. But you choose. He doesn't choose it for us. He doesn't cajole us. He doesn't drag us. He doesn't force us. He doesn't impose on us. He says, you have the ability to choose. That is something that God gave us that no one can or should take away, because even God doesn't take that away from your life. No one should control you. No one should force you to make decisions that you don't want to make. You have the gift of free will and free choice, which even God doesn't take away from you. He says, you choose. I have placed before you, I have given you options. Now you go ahead and you choose, because based on your decisions, your life will unfold. We are who we are today based on the decisions we made yesterday. And we will be what we will be tomorrow based on the decisions we make today. So if we allow God to guide us and we make the right choices, not based on our circumstances, we can go into a future that is exciting, that is good, that may be unknown to us, but known to him. Known to him. And that confidence that it is known to him, it will just dispel fear. Because otherwise we can make our choices built on fear, right? That's the natural leaning in. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 17, it tells us the story of Elijah. And I like that first song we sang, because, you know, I knew I was going to talk about Elijah. But it talks about Elijah, and there he was. He had proclaimed God's word into that land and said, there's going to be a famine, 3 years. You know, no rain, which means no food and no water, an extreme difficulty. And then God spoke to Elijah, and he said, he guided him, and he said, you go down to that brook. You go to where I take you, where I send you, and I will make provision for you that you don't have to do anything about. So when he went there, he found, as God had said, the ravens fed him in the morning and in the evening, meat and bread. There's something about 2 meals a day in the Bible, right? Maybe we should go from 4 or 6 to 2 meals a day. Who said eat little and often? God said eat twice. But anyway, the ravens, they fed him in the morning and in the evening. The brook was flowing. He was good until the brook dried up. He was where he was supposed to be. But he still needed God's guidance in every season of his life. God's guidance on your life is not an event. It's the story, the journey of your life. No matter what you do, where you go, what happens in your life, you need God's guidance. And God then said to him, now you arise, which means you actually get up. If you stay where you are, you're not going to enter into what I have, the provision that I have for you. He had to actually get up. And then God said, go to this little town called Zarephath. It was not even in Israel. It was right in the middle of enemy territory. And he was actually running away from the enemy. He was running away from the queen, Jezebel. And this was right at the center, the heart of idolatry and the worship of Baal. And God said, you go there. Go where? Go there. Right? It didn't make sense in the natural. But God said, you go there, and I have already made provision. There is a widow there that I have instructed to provide for you. It's like Sai going to those offices and God already having gone ahead and instructed them to open the door for her to have a job there. God goes ahead of us. And even though the area and the direction that God asked Elijah to go could have been crazy, really, in the natural, who would go there? He was running away, and now he was going to the very place that he was running from, to a place that was full of idolatry and the worship of Baal. It just didn't seem to make sense. But you know, when we allow God to guide us, he guides us in a way that he knows best, that may be different to what we think we know best. We don't have to try and figure it out. He could have actually done a little bit of an analysis. Zarephath, town full of worship of Baal. I've just really given them a whole load of trouble. I'm hiding from them, running from them. No way. The famine is really bad there. How will I cope? Right? But he just got up and he trusted that his guide knew where he was going, that God had gone ahead, and he went in faith. And you know, I think so often we think of God directing us through all sorts of amazing external things. You know, not just God's word, but either people speaking to you, or you hear something, or you do something, or you expect to be written in the stars, or, you know, you whatever great and mighty external things you want God to guide you from. That's not how he always guides us. In the main, God guides us through our own inner wisdom. And I know I used to often say, you know, it's that instinct that you have in a situation where even though it's different from contrary wisdom, you go with your inner instinct. And I thought and pondered about that word instinct a lot. And I thought, no, it's not an inner instinct. It's inner wisdom. It's inner wisdom because that is God speaking to us. That is God guiding us. You know, when we listen in and we lean in to that inner wisdom that God gives us, we can make our decisions in the confidence of knowing, no matter what it seems on the outside, this is the direction that God wants us to go in. And the Bible says, if anyone, any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask the Lord, and the Lord will give. There's no shortage of wisdom. There's no monopoly on wisdom. There isn't a set quota on wisdom, right? There's enough wisdom for each one of us to live our lives well, to make good choices, to live lives that are fruitful, that are productive, that are on purpose, and just that sense of fulfillment. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask the Lord. Lean in to the Holy Spirit who guides us with a spirit of wisdom that is within us, that when we have to make a decision, it goes beyond what we would think rationally. And you know, it happens in every facet of our lives. The wisdom that God gives us and the guidance that God gives us is not just for Sundays. It's for every single day. It means when you go to work, when you make your business deals, when you connect with people, when you go to college, everything that you do, God can give you wisdom and he can guide you. Every decision of your life. I mean, we find that in everything that we do, including getting our little puppy Brisbane. You know, we had one dog, Coco, and in an apartment in Mumbai, one dog is like a lot. And then when Grace really wanted to have a second puppy, I thought, dear God, really? No, I can't. I really can't. So I took months and I said, God, I need to know from you. It's not just externally what the family wants. And Ian was quite cool. He's a dog person. And Amy Jo was like wondering if this second dog is ever going to happen. But Grace was like, you know, cheerleading the second dog thing. And I remember that day I was sitting on a little chair. We were in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I looked at it and I really felt God say to me, now is the time, get the second dog. It was contrary to everything I wanted to do. I didn't want a second dog. We didn't have space for the second dog. We already had a dog. I did not know at that point that I made that decision that Coco already had cancer. 2 months later, we discovered. And within 6 months of getting the little dog, Coco had passed on doggy heaven. So many people came and asked me, oh, did you know Coco was sick? No, I didn't know. But God knew. We don't have to know everything about our lives or our future, but God knows. And if we allow Him to direct us, we can make decisions without knowing, because God gives us the wisdom when we trust Him. Right? He gives you the wisdom to make decisions in every area of your life, every single area God is interested in. It's not just spiritual things. What you do, where you work, who you work with, what kind of, you know, job you're going to have, your career, your everything, your relationships. Trust God. Hang out with the right people. Surround yourself with wise people and you'll have a great future. The Bible says surround yourself with fools and you'll have a hard time. Show me your friends and I'll tell you a little bit about you. It's true, right? When you make the right choices, you hang with the right people, you ask God for wisdom, you let the Holy Spirit be your guide, then you can really enter into God's best for you with confidence. This is still the year of the unimaginable. What are you believing for? As we come to take communion, I really want you to reconnect with God and say, God, I know you can be my guide. Holy Spirit, I know you are my guide. Help me to lean into that inner wisdom that you give me and make my decisions based on what you say to me, on your word, on your promise to me, on the hope that I have in you. And believe that in this coming week, every decision that you make will be a decision that leads you closer to your destiny, not further away. We are who we are based on the decisions that we make. So choose to make great decisions in the coming week and see the fruit of that. Amen? We're going to come to communion now.